it's a joy to be here with you this evening. I'm inviting you, please, to open your Bible in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I said we were here some 46 years ago, almost 45 years ago we left for Brazil. We served the Lord for many years with Acre Gospel Mission in the Amazon. And thank God for those happy and very blessed years in that land. Besides that, I pastored a church with a Free Presbyterian Church for 2 years in the United States and then went back to Brazil. And after some time there, we came to pastor in Templemore Hall down there in East Belfast at 9 very blessed and happy years in Templemore Hall, times of blessing when many, many people came to know Jesus Christ the Savior. And then we went back to Brazil again. And I came home in 1997, the end of 97, when my father became ill. And from then until January last year, just a year ago, I was the pastor at Banbridge Baptist Church. Now at this age, I'm back into Acre Gospel Mission, traveling to Brazil to encourage pastors. Over the last 30 years in Brazil, Brazil has had the fastest growing evangelical church in the world. There are some like 25% of the Brazilian population, 180 million people. 25% of them are evangelical Christians. Now, under that term evangelical, there's a lot of things that go on, but it does show the growth that there's been in Brazil. But what has happened with widespread growth, there is very little depth. And so in these years that the Lord has given to us, we want to help and encourage and seek to teach in the Brazilian church. And therefore, my ministry now, having stepped down from the church, is that of evangelism. We did mission in Saintfield and Belenenses this year and in other parts, Bible ministry across the world, and especially encouraging pastors in the Amazon area of Brazil. The Lord, I've just come back from there. I got back on the 6th of December, and the Lord willing, on the 1st of February, I'll be out there again for the month of February, conducting special meetings amongst the Baptist churches of the Amazon. And then the month of March, we'll be in Portugal doing similar work with the Portuguese church, or several Portuguese churches in the southern part of Portugal. I say all that and ask you to pray for us. Pray the Lord will help. Remember, any of us, we're just the flesh and blood. The Lord carries on his work and uses all sorts of instruments to do his work. It's God in us, the Bible says. He works both to will and to do his good pleasure through us. I remember many years ago, one of our missionaries came home at a ripe age, and instead of retiring, she spoke on these words, John chapter 6, and I think it's verse 12, where Jesus said, "Gather up the fragments that remain and let nothing be wasted." And that's exactly what we want to do with our lives. We are not sort of riding out into the sunset. We want to gather up whatever fragments remain of these lives and just give them back to the work of the Lord. May the Lord bless you in your life as you seek to serve the Savior. Now, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and we're reading at verse 9. "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bear him with sorrow.' And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thine hand may be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me.' And God granted him that which he requested." And amen, the Lord bless to us this reading from his sacred word. Now, I'm sure that all of us have got a favorite portion of the Bible. As a matter of fact, looking at the platform here this evening, I see that I'm flanked on two sides with two very familiar parts of the Bible. John chapter 3, verse 16, the 25 words, right, that expresses all that the Lord has done for us. And then Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Reminding us to commit our way unto the Lord, and he will direct our path. We have all got our favorite part of the Bible. I say that, and I'm just about sure that no one finds their favorite part of the Bible as in the book of Chronicles. It is not exactly the best read or most read book of the Bible. The Chronicles was very important for the Jews. It was important to them to trace their genealogy, to know their tribe and their family. And that's what the book of the Chronicles is all about. That is why in 1 Chronicles, the chapters 1 through 8, is just one genealogy after another. And the most frequent word that is used there is begat, begat, begat. I say that this evening because when you come to this portion of Scripture, it's quite possible to skip through these chapters and miss out on this man called Jabez. As a matter of fact, as you read through this First Chronicles, you'll find that genealogies are difficult to read. Not least of all because of the names. It's hard to read through this and pronounce the names. They say of D.L. Moody that when he was reading the Scriptures in public, when he came to a very difficult name, he would stop. He would make a comment about the portion he was reading and then pick up the reading on the other side of the difficult word. That's a good way to do it. And that's what D.L. Moody did. But if we were to do it that way and miss out on this man Jabez, we would miss a very important part of the Scripture. Here we come, as it were, to a graveyard. And sometimes even in a graveyard, we meet something that's salutary and calls our attention. And so it is with this man called Jabez. Just a number of things I want to say about Jabez this evening as we come to study, and I do think that it's very appropriate that this, the first fellowship meeting of this year, that we learn this prayer of Jabez. When he prayed and said, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed." Don't we all want, indeed, don't we all need the blessing of God? But some things to say as a sort of preamble into that prayer of Jabez. Let me say, first of all, I think it's true to say that Jabez was a very special man. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he was more honorable than his brethren. That is, my friend, that in his particular day, he was distinguished in his generation. I think it's very interesting that when you read this portion of Scripture, remember all that was going on around him. Why, armies were fighting against armies. Dictators and captains and rulers, kings and emperors were fighting each other for particular kingdoms. Others, my friend, were building cities and making a name for themselves in the secular world. But the man who was the most honorable man of that generation was God's man. It is not, my friend, the great work that is being done in the world that is the most important work. God's work is in the life of a man, a woman, a young person. It is God who's at work in us. And here is this man, Jabez, distinguished by the Holy Spirit as being called the man most honorable in his generation. I say that this evening because let's remember this. The old adage is very true. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Jesus will last. 100 years from now, it will not matter the house that we lived in or the car that we drove or the particular style of our clothes. What will matter 100 years from now is what we did with our lives in relation to God. Jabez was an honorable man and God was pleased with the life of that man. My young friend this evening, strive to please God, to make the full benefit of your life for the kingdom of God. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. 150 years ago, during the premiership of the Prime Minister Gladstone, there was a member of his cabinet by the name of James Taylor. I don't think anybody knows of the name of James Taylor, a famed politician of his particular time. He made headlines in his particular day, but 150 years later, nobody has ever heard of James Taylor. However, there was another boy called Taylor. He was a sickly boy who lived in the Shire of Yorkshire. I say he was sickly. And yet in his bed he read and he studied, his sister attended to him. As he studied pharmacy, he not only studied from there, but as God gave to him the strength, he rose to be a great man of God, dedicated himself to the Lord's work and went to China. His name is Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was the founder of the China Inland Mission. And in 1860, as he pioneered China for the Lord, why the influence of his life still lives today. And in Christian circles, why the name of Hudson Taylor is greatly known. He wasn't known so much in his generation. But my friend, he was a more honorable man. I say, so live to make an impact, so that your life may be honorable for Jesus. He was a special man. And yet as we read this portion of scripture, if you look at verse 9, you will find also that he was not only a special man, but he was a sorrowful man. Why, we read here that his mother called his name Jabez, because I bear him with sorrow. The name Jabez is a very interesting name. It actually means pain, vexation. It is a word that is used at the end of verse 10 when it says that it may not grieve me. The word Jabez means grievous, pain. I don't think your mother would call anybody in your family. I was going to say that she'll not call them a pain. Maybe sure, your mother would call you a pain, but certainly wouldn't give that name to the child. Wouldn't call the child vexation. There had to be a reason for it. Why? It says here that she bare him with sorrow. What was the sorrow? What was the pain at the time of this lad's birth? Could it be the pain of childbirth as she gave birth to this child? It might have been. But somehow or other, I don't think that was it. As a matter of fact, the portion of scripture is very suggestive, because when it says that his mother called his name Jabez, because I bear him with sorrow, it was not so much the sorrow of childbirth, but rather the sorrow of the circumstances. Could it be that this was a widow? I mean, you read this portion of scripture and you will read time after time that so-and-so begot so-and-so, and it's always the father who is mentioned. But on this occasion, there is no mention of a father. Could it be that he had been killed in a war or had fallen because of an illness, and here was this woman, no inheritance, no breadwinner, and she's got a baby to look after? Could it be it was a pain of poverty? We don't know. As a matter of fact, reading this portion of scripture and thinking that there's no mention of the husband, it might not only have been the pain of widowhood, could it have been the pain of single parenthood? It happened in that particular time, and do I need to tell you it happens in our time? My friend, thank God for precious little boys and girls for whom we have the opportunity of winning them for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's remember that many of them are born into circumstances that are very painful, and all that we could win them for the Savior. Here was this boy called Jabez. It might have been the pain of poverty. It might have been the pain, my friend, of a difficult circumstance, perhaps a reputation. But as I look at this boy, I think to myself, whatever the circumstance of his first birth, thank God for the second birth. This man, although he was handicapped in the sense that he was born in sorrow, they called him pain, yet thank God he rose above his handicap to become a man who was head and shoulders above his peers. My friend, may I just remind you, whatever your circumstance may be, don't be a victim to your circumstance. Jabez wasn't victim to his circumstance. He was a sorrowful man, but he rose up above sorrow to be a blessing. To be a blessing. Maybe you look at your life and your circumstance and you think, well, it's okay for others, and it's amazing how God blesses them, but could God do it for me in my circumstance? Most certainly he can. Most certainly he can. As a matter of fact, as I read of this man, Jabez, I bear him with sorrow, this sense of pain. Isn't it amazing that this man was able not only to endure his suffering, but employ his suffering so that the suffering became a motivator to do better in his life. And that is why I see that this man was not only a special man and a sorrowful man, but thank God he was a supplicating man. You see, it says this word, I bear him with sorrow, and Jabez called on the name of the Lord. My friend, may I just remind you, thank God for the access to the throne of God. It means that whatever our circumstances may be, no matter how much we may be hemmed in by those circumstances, be it suffering, be it poverty, be it, my friend, a sense of discrimination against us, heaven is not closed to us. And he called upon the name of the Lord. He was a supplicating man. That is why Paul, when he wrote to Timothy and told him to endure hardness as a good soldier. My friend, it's not just enduring, as we say, man, it was employing. Using the circumstances, using the suffering, the sorrow, to drive him into the arms of the everlasting God. And Jabez called upon the name of the Lord. I say that this evening, I am conscious that the hardest discipline of the Christian life is the matter of prayer. Perhaps this is reflected in the lives and the life of our churches. I'm sure it's true of just about most churches that the prayer meeting, or rather the meeting least frequented in the life of our church, is the prayer meeting. It is the neglected place in the life of the church. And it happens in lives. They say if you want to embarrass any preacher, ask him about his prayer life. I see here this man called Jabez. Jabez called on the God of Israel. Isn't it amazing that this man was not a prophet? I mean, we don't read of any sermons that he ever preached. We don't read here of any miracles that he ever did. He wasn't a prophet preacher. He wasn't a miracle worker. My friend, but he was a man who knew how to pray. And the amazing thing about prayer is, my friend, it is open to all of us. It's open to all of us. This man, my friend, I remind you that talents he might not have had, but God blessed him not because of great talents. God blessed him because he asked. He prayed. And can I encourage each one here this evening? Listen, heaven is open to you. The Lord Jesus is our high priest. He's before the throne of the heavenly grace. You may never grace a platform to preach the word of God. Would to God that he would give that gift to you. But may I just remind you, thank God heaven is open to every one of us. And we may never preach or do any mighty work that men may look upon. But you can touch the throne of God. And remember this, by touching the hand of God in heaven, you touch the hand that moves the world. That is why I supplicate, or rather I ask people to pray for us. Over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, you will find that Paul is in Asia. He's writing to the church in Corinth. Corinth is in Greece. That is in Europe. And as he's writing to them, he reminds them that in Asia he is pressed out of measure. His life is almost out. It's the pressure of problems, the pressure of people and the pressure of a program. I'm pressed out of measure. But, he says, you also helping together with prayer. It's amazing the people in Europe were praying for Paul in Asia. Thank God by their prayers they were able to move Asia for Christ. I say that because you never know what God will do through your prayer life. John Hyde was an American missionary who went to India. As he got to India, the Pune area of India, and saw the villages and the masses and the millions who needed the Savior, he felt at times overwhelmed. How can we ever reach them? These people entrenched in Buddhism and Hinduism and so many other comparative religions, hearts were hardened and prejudiced. How can we move them? As he preached, at times it felt that his words were bouncing over the wall or falling to the ground. Who can ever penetrate the heart? He decided God could do it. And so he gave time to pray. And as a matter of fact, he prayed so much that he earned the nickname Praying Hyde. That's all they called him. John Hyde was his name. But you know something, I was a Christian for many years before I ever learned his first name. I only knew of him as Praying Hyde. And by his prayers, John Hyde was able to touch thousands of Indians. He did more by his praying than he ever did by his preaching. Jabez was a special man, a sorrowful man, a supplicating man. And yet I've got to say this, Jabez was a successful man. Because we read these words at the end of verse 10, and God granted him that which he requested. If God was to give to you what you're requesting, what would it be? What are you praying for in your life? What are you aiming for in your life? Remember those words I said, that we may gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing be wasted. The things that you're living for, are they things that are perishable and wasteful? God granted him that which he requested. What is it that he requested? Well, that's where we want to look at the prayer of Jabez. And what I've said already this evening is really only a preamble into this. And I want you at the beginning of this year just to remember this prayer. And Jabez called on the God of Israel saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." His name has just gone from me at the moment, but there's a fellow who was with the Walk Through the Bible Ministry in the United States of America. His name will come to me in a moment. But he went to preach at a conference about 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, in Washington State. He spoke on the prayer of Jabez and suggested that it's something that the students of Multnomah Seminary take to their hearts and to their homes and make it their prayer. Someone suggested to him that he should write a little booklet on his message. And so he wrote a book on the message, and it was just simply called The Prayer of Jabez. They made 7,000 copies, which is a big run on a book, even in the United States of America. The next run on the book, there was such demand, they printed 20,000 copies, and then 70,000 copies. At the last time I heard of the run of the book, they had printed over 20 million copies of the book on the prayer of Jabez as people took this prayer to their hearts. And he was called the man who brought America to its knees. I am not sure about the book on the prayer of Jabez, but I suggest to you that here is something that you could take into this year and make it your prayer every day, every week. At the beginning of this week, could you pray this prayer, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." What a prayer to begin a year, to begin a week, to begin a day. "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." Let's just look at the prayer. What is it that God granted him? First of all, we find that he prayed for the enrichment of the blessing of God. That's it. "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." Isn't it amazing how personal this was? Here was this man in Israel at that particular time, and Israel was in great need. The king on the throne, the nation, my friend, that had forsaken God. But he realized that the secret of blessing wasn't blessing out there. It's blessing down in here. To me, personally. There's an old Hebrew spiritual that says, "It's not my brother or my sister, Lord. It's me. I'm standing in the need of prayer." And I say that to you this evening. When it comes to doing a work for God or expecting God to do a work, don't be looking to your brother or to your sister. It's me, dear Lord. I'm standing in the need of prayer. When in 1859, four young men from Ballymena, when they got together and spoke of revival, they didn't look to the clergy in the pulpit. They felt that they could do something, and so on like this. They gathered to pray, and there those four men laid hold upon God because they believed that if God sent revival, He could send it to them. Oh, that you would bless me. That's it. Personal prayer. Gypsy Smith, many years ago, used to pray for revival. And he said, when you pray for revival, draw a circle and stand inside the circle and say, oh God, send revival inside this circle. Isn't it true that all of our hearts need revival? We need the touch of God. And here is a man who wasn't praying for the nation out there. He was praying for his heart in here. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. Incidentally, what is blessing? Blessing is a very hard word to nail down. You remember that we read that God blessed Adam, but we don't read that after Adam sinned that God ever blessed. God blessed Noah and God blessed Abraham. God blessed Moses. God blessed David. The Lord Jesus, He blessed the little children. What does blessing mean? My friend, blessing comes to us in many forms. But if I could put it to you this way, it is the grace and the goodness of God meeting a man or a woman at the point of his or her need. That's what blessing is. Did you ever think how you could ever pray without using the word bless? I mean, when you pray for your father and your mother and you pray for the boys and girls in your Sunday school class, or you pray for your pastor. You pray and say, Lord, bless them. What does that blessing mean? It doesn't mean the same for everything, but it does mean this in principle. It is God meeting them exactly where they are. And that's exactly how it was for this man. Lord, bless me in the point of my need. That was blessing. There's something else about this prayer. Oh, that you would bless me. Notice the passion of this prayer. He just didn't say, oh, God bless me. But it's that sense of, oh, that you would bless me indeed. There's passion in that word. There's pathos in that word. Well, my friend, I tell you this, we need passion in our praying. And passion in our preaching. I find that the men and women whom God used in the Bible were passionate and enthusiastic people for God. We have something to be passionate about, zealous and enthusiastic about. And here's this man praying and saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Franz Hafner said that sadly in our churches we've lost the sense of oh. Oh! Longing, desiring. I remember many years ago as a young Christian in Dunmurry Free Presbyterian Church, we used to have late prayer meetings on Sunday night. And those prayer meetings were very passionate. We were at benches just like these, and sometimes they were hammering the benches. One night a man came in who was a complete stranger to the prayer meeting, obviously enjoyed the prayer meeting. But when he got up to pray, he prayed so differently. It was so cold. I'll never forget it, and you'll understand why when I tell you what he said. He said, oh God, I thank you tonight for the opportunity of being in this prayer meeting. Lord, you know how difficult it is where I work, and you know that man that I work with. He's a professed Christian, and he's going with another woman who's not his wife, Lord. And if anybody here in the prayer meeting doesn't believe me, I'll give you his name after the meeting tonight. I don't think it was passionate praying that he was into. It was more gossiping that he was into. But don't we need passionate praying in our meetings? And then it was not only personal praying and passionate praying, but here was a man who was praying for reality. He said, oh, that you would bless me indeed. You see that word indeed? I think what he was asking is, Lord, I'm asking for real blessing. Real blessing, not just the mercy drops, and most certainly not the fake drops. Many people, my friend, tried to manipulate the people and bring, as it were, false fire to the altar of God. We can't do that. We need the real blessings of God to come by the blessed Holy Spirit upon us. He prayed for the enrichment of blessing. Us with our impoverished lives, don't we need the enrichment of God's blessing upon us? I confess before you this evening, I need it. At the beginning of this year in my ministry, what God has given to me that you would bless me indeed. The enrichment of blessing. Now, notice secondly in this, that he prayed not only for the enrichment of blessing, but he prayed for the enlargement of his border. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. All of us want to see growth. But isn't it amazing that before he asked for enlargement, he asked for enrichment? Many of us want growth and prosperity, growth in our churches and growth in our fellowship and growth in our Sunday school and growth in our work. But remember this, enlargement only comes by enrichment. Can you imagine enlargement without enrichment? Oh, my friend, I'll tell you this. You read over there in Luke chapter 11. The Lord Jesus told the parable of the friend who came at midnight and prayed this prayer that I have friends who have come to visit me. And then he said this word, I have nothing to set before them. He was impoverished. That's how we come to God. We come for enrichment. And enrichment leads to enlargement. Enlargement, my friend, is not only growth in a church, a Sunday school, a fellowship, a Bible class, it's growth in our lives. Growth in our lives. We will only grow as God blesses us. Mr. Wiersbe used to say and pray, Lord, make me blessed. Think of that. Lord, make me blessed. I'm asking you tonight, would you make yourself available to God for God to bless you? We can only know that blessing as we trust and obey. Make me blessed, Lord. Oh, that you would enrich me with blessing. Oh, that you would enlarge my border. Incidentally, when we speak of growth, how much have you grown in your Christian life over the last year? Are you where you were this time last year? Or do I speak to someone in your further back than what you were this time last year? My friend, remember this, that it's God who works in us both to will and to do his good pleasure, and he will continue his work. Let the Lord do his work. Let him have his way in your life every day. Our time is gone, but let me just say this. Lessons from the life of Jabez. Oh, that you would bless me, the enrichment of blessing, the enlargement of the border. And then it says, and that thine hand might be with me, the enablement of God's presence. You read that word, thy hand might be with me, the hand of God. Way over there in the book of Nehemiah, we read of Nehemiah as he went up to Jerusalem to do a work. My friend, it was a challenging work. He needed a lot of courage. He needed a lot of supplies. As the king had given him permission to go, we read these words, and the hand of my God was with me. Isn't that a wonderful thing when the hand of God is with us? I was preaching the other night of John, there in the Isle of Patmos, and it says, as he saw the Christ and saw the voice of many waters, he swallowed one like unto the Son of Man, and then he says this word, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And then it says, and he laid his right hand upon me. Oh, the gentleness of our blessed Savior. For here is the touch of the nail-pierced hand upon him. My friend, may I just remind you, as you allow God to bless you, as you allow the enrichment of blessing and the enlargement of the coast, the border, you will find the enablement of God's presence. God will enable you to be everything that he wants you to be. I'm looking back now on almost 50 years in Christ. I feel a veteran talking to you here this evening, like all these years. But I do remember the first time I ever went to do a meeting. We were invited. We were only a bunch of young people. I was about 16, 17, I think it was at the time. And we were invited down to Newtownards Baptist Church to do the woman's meeting. I'd never been in a Baptist church in my life before. The meeting started at 8 o'clock. There were three of us there that night, and we got through two hymns, a testimony, and the preaching. The meeting started at 8 o'clock, and it was all over at 25 past 8. I think we preached for 5 minutes. Oh, I thought, we'll never do this again. But here we are all these years later. What is it? It's only the hand of God. Allow God to have his way in your life. And then finally, he prayed for the enrichment of blessing, the enlargement of his border, the enablement of God's hand upon him. And then it says, keep me from evil. Oh, he was praying, lest he be endangered in anything that would grieve God. As a matter of fact, that word at the end there that it says that it may not grieve thee. Lord, that it may not be a Jabez. Lord, my name's Jabez, but don't let me be a Jabez. Don't let me be a pain. What about it tonight? Don't make me a pain, make me a blessing. I say it's an appropriate prayer, an appropriate character in the first fellowship of this year. And I pray tonight that you'll learn some of these lessons from this special man, sorrowful man, supplicating man, yet very successful man, because he sought God in his life. And God granted him that which he requested. And I trust that God will grant you what you request in your life. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, how we thank you tonight for the good word of God. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who came all the way from heaven's glory and went to the cross of Calvary just for us. We remember his word and that prayer that he prayed and said, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. Lord God, grant that through these lives of ours, you may be glorified. And may we be able to finish all that you give us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.